What's the most scared you guys have been at in a movie?
The podcast is over, Lorenzo.
No, it's not. We're still recording. What is, humor me here. What's the most scared you've been in a movie?
Most scared I've ever been in a movie by far was Jumanji. I was like eight, but it was terrifying.
Wait, what was this? What was the scary part about Jumanji?
I mean, just the whole premise of Jumanji is pretty scary.
You play a game and then,
you get sucked into it. What year is it? I thought I was going to play a board game and just get transported and lose my family.
Welcome to BBBBBB. I'm Billy Gill. I'm joined by Elizabeth, Charlie, Mr. Krabs is back, and Lorenzo, and maybe Allison. We'll see if she calls in later. I don't know. Ooh. Mr. Krabs, first and foremost, how are you doing today?
I am good. To our 12 listeners, none of you reached out, but I still have my appendix. My bout with food poisoning is over. I am in one piece with all of my internal organs and happy to be back.
Did you include that in the podcast last week, whether or not Kravitz is going to make it be alive this week?
It was a cliffhanger. Like, what is he
going to do? I feel like I, for HIPAA reasons, was like, don't put this in, but here's what happened with Charlie.
Well, now we refer to it. So, Kravitz.
HIPAA, FLIPAA.
It's the patient's decision, as long as Charlie's okay.
Yeah, for everyone that had Kravitz being alive.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You know, big win for the listeners, also big win for me for being alive. So, yeah. Good news moving forward.
Well, I included none of that in the podcast. I just said Charlie was under the weather, but now everybody knows he had an appendix issue and HIPAA violations and whatever. So we have a lot of things we can get to today, guys. We have a recipe. We have a new edition of last week's debut of I Can't Believe, which Charlie, you missed last week. And
I can't believe it.
I can't believe you missed it either. Now, here's something that we were discussing when we were playing I Can't Believe behind the scenes. And I'm not going to say who pointed it out, but it was one of our more positive members of the show. One of our more positive members was not a big fan of what's grinding my gears because this person, whose name I won't reveal, said that she felt that it was a little bit of a downer of a segment. It brought down the high energy of the show. But you have another edition of What Grinds My Gears today. We have a lightning round. We have Lorenzo's 7th Beat. I don't know what we should start with today. Also, unrelated to all of this, I found a hidden treat in my backpack when I was going through and getting my notebook out and my laptop out and my pen and all that stuff to get ready. I found an old Starburst, and I wonder how long this is good for and if I should eat this or if I should just decide this probably isn't good anymore and let it be.
Might break a tooth.
A Starburst is pretty much good forever, it. I think.
100%. Post-apocalyptic food source.
This is what I've been doing.
Yeah, like
I've been doing that thing where you kind of just push it and make the sides soft. So now it's not going to be hard and break a tooth, I don't think.
Oh, if you made it soft, then you're good to go. If it was maintaining a hard consistency, you might be in a little bit of trouble, but you could probably still eat it.
Can we do a live Starburst review?
Ooh. What's your favorite Starburst? Very quick lightning round.
Pink.
Red.
Ooh. I'm split between pink and red, but if I had to pick one, pink. But the perfect Halloween fun size when it comes to in a package is one pink, one red.
Those are torture because what happens is you always get like a double yellow or a yellow orange or like a yellow pink. And it's like, I just want the red and the pink ones.
I got a package last year that was all pinks and I didn't know it until I started opening them and felt like every day was the luckiest day. Lorenzo, what flavor Starburst do you like?
I haven't had any Starbursts.
Ever?
I'm not like a fruit.
You've never had
guy.
A Starburst?
I don't think I have. No.
I can't had a Starburst. Believe.
No, I'm not.
I've never had a Starburst.
Well, believe it. I haven't. I have a very finicky sense of taste. Charlie knows this. Charlie Hume, Chunky Dog, when we did a blind Dr. Pepper Mountain Dew taste test, two things also that I hadn't had until like 2 years ago, a year ago, when was that?
Yeah, that was hard to believe. That was hard to believe that you'd never consumed either of those sodas.
Liked both of them. I was more of a fan of Mountain Dew, though.
Yeah, did you, I forgot how we did that. Did we literally just pour Mountain Dew in a cup and Dr. Pepper in a cup and you had to guess which one was which?
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you would
get
crazy.
Yeah, you got it right.
Throw in a third curveball, but.
There's no way you've never had a Starburst. Even like Halloween, like Elis was saying.
No, during Halloween, what I would do is I'd get all my candy and like, the fruity candy, I traded away for chocolates. I'm all about chocolates.
What? Have you ever had a Skittle?
I've had Skittles. I'm not a huge fan of them.
Wait, time out. Can I tell you guys something I saw on the internet this weekend? Someone was visiting someone's house and they had like a candy bowl or candy dish out.
Already?
Not Halloween candy, but just like you would have. Charlie Kravitz, I feel like you might know where I'm going.
I know where you're going and I'm ready.
It was Skittles and they claimed M&Ms, but they were clearly Reese's Pieces all mixed together.
Oh,
that is so chaotic.
Right. That's awful.
People used to do that at the office. Remember people would mix those. We have like the little
Bonnie.
Desk. Yeah, with the little, and people would mix in, and it was terrible.
It was awful.
You're gonna have a handful of M&Ms, and then you get like a Skittle in there. It's awful.
That's literally the chart of chaotic evil. I'd say chaotic neutral is someone who mixes like
Reese's Pieces and M&Ms.
Yeah, Reese's Pieces or pretzels or something like that. Yeah.
Well, that's actually enhancing.
That would be very good.
Yeah. Or that's like, chaotic good. Yeah.
Or like Reese's Pieces with like the peanut butter filled pretzels.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. Things like that. So there are combos that can be chaotic good, neutral, you know, all that stuff. That's just chaotic. The textural issues of thinking you're going to bite into an M&M and getting a Skittle or vice versa.
Yeah. That happened at the office. That was awful.
Can I actually tell you a food chaotic thing that happened to Lorenzo on April Fool's Day?
Oh, crap.
So we have a director that works in our office. Her name is Bonnie. Shout out to Bonnie. She's the best.
She is the best.
And
she
loves April Fool's Day. And Lorenzo, despite loving April Fool's Day as well, and
is an easy mark.
Himself, well, he thinks that he is pranking everyone, but he's the easiest of marks. And so she comes in and is like, hey, do you want an Oreo? And they're staring me in my face. And I'm like, no, I don't want your Oreo. Knowing exactly what's going on. I was like, go give it to Lorenzo, who's at that point producing the Levitar.
Producing
TV
the radio show. Yeah, not like I'm worried, concerned with more important things, but
oh God,
I'm thinking like about this.
Yeah, it's filled. That's exactly what it was. Lorenzo takes it without another thought, shoves it in his pie hole, and is like, oh, Bonnie, what'd you do to me? And it
actually,
was just a toothpaste filled Oreo.
I don't think I immediately realized it. I was like, I was enjoying it for a while, and I'm like, wait a minute. What's
It was weird. Well, also, I think I was completely oblivious to all that happening right around me and then ate one of those Oreos after Lorenzo ate one of those Oreos.
Oh, wow. Oh,
I felt very stupid. Yeah.
So how many times have you fallen for the fake gum that like snaps on your finger, like the buzzer on your hand?
Oh, those are good. The one I would always fall for is fake nuts? Nuts. springs? Yeah. So actually, I mean, Bonnie and I are kind of peas in a pod. We're very much the same individual, very scatterbrained, young at heart. Bonnie and I actually take a yearly pilgrimage every February, is it, to New York for the International Toy Fair. We go to find all the little tchotchkes and knickknacks and toys for us for the office.
I was going to say, Lorenzo got us all addicted on Funko Pops at one point.
That's correct.
He took a catalog around the office and had us all circle the Funko Pops we wanted. And then he didn't get anyone else
except for himself.
No. These are lies. First off, I asked for input from everybody. I said, hey, which ones do we want? I got you a Kylian Mbappe, if I remember correctly, Charlie Hume.
I bought that myself on the
internet. I got you one, some soccer guy.
I circled it. You never brought it back.
Well, also it had to be like Bonnie had to say, all right, Wilbon, first off, Kornheiser hates the Funko Pops, despises them. He's like,
weird.
We got a Muhammad Ali one. We got a Muhammad Ali one. And I was like, oh, they're going to love this. It's Muhammad Ali. And he's like, what is this? This. And I go, it's Muhammad Ali. And he's like, this doesn't even look like him. And he just hates all the toys, more so the Pop Funkos.
I got to be honest with you. When you guys, and this is a really embarrassing admission, when you guys were saying Funko Pops, I Googled it because I thought it was some sort of food or candy. Since we were just talking about candy, I'm like, what is this? Like an icicle? Like how did Lorenzo transport these? But no, they're toys. And I'm an idiot.
I thought it was Funko Pop, but Lorenzo started saying Pop Funko, and now I'm second guessing myself.
Is it? No, it's Funko Pops.
I thought they were Pop dolls until Lorenzo started saying Pop Funko. Anyway, to our listeners, if you want to make us custom BBBBBB Pop Funkos of ourselves, we wouldn't hate it.
You can make like custom ones online.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one that's a Guy Fieri one that recently came out that looks exactly like Sugat's.
How many of these do you have, Lorenzo?
Ooh, too many.
A lot. More DVDs or more Pop Funkos?
Certainly more DVDs.
But do these like appreciate in value?
Yes.
No, some of them hold. Some of them, you get them early at the retail price, they have a higher price after.
Well, then some of them are like there's like variants of them, and there's harder to find Chase ones that have slight variations. Like the Scarfield that I'm holding up has a little mug that says "I hate Mondays."
Yeah, but it's not in the box.
Well, yeah, I took it out. I keep the boxes because yeah. I'm resale.
Yeah, but they're no longer mint condition.
I'm not the 40-year-old virgin. I like to let them breathe. I like to have them out.
Which one, Lorenzo, will you be most upset with when your daughter gets older and breaks them? Like, which one do you want her to break the least?
We've had that discussion. That's why we keep it up on a shelf, away from her. Granted, she's not going to understand that at a certain age is going to want them.
Is that up next to Indy, Lorenzo? Is that a pinky in the brain up there?
That's correct. That is the brain. I got wow. that at. Like, I got that at the. One. I got that's not a Pump Funko, but that's from the old Warner Brothers store at Westland Mall. You know what I'm talking about, Billy Gill.
I can't believe your wife allows you to have a display table that has both your Emmy and the brain.
Well, that's, I think, a perfect encapsulation of who I am, right?
Salt and pepper shakers also up there?
Those are ESPN salt and pepper shakers.
Wow, an eagle eye.
Wait.
Do you know the
story? You took those from the calf.
So it says on the bottom, do not steal this. They expected everyone. So basically ESPN, this is actually one of the greatest things ESPN's ever done, but they created salt and pepper shakers where
RIP the old calf.
The E and the N are like bookends, and you can pull the S out for salt and the P out for pepper.
It's
great.
Put
on the bottom, Lorenzo. What does the script say on the bottom? Do not take from the cafeteria. Or do not steal.
Very dusty. No, it says stolen from the ESPN cafeteria. Stolen.
So they expected people to steal them. So that was kind of the.
It was asking for it. I'm sorry. I didn't steal this on my way out. It was or borrow. I'll bring it back someday. One of my colleagues got it for me as a going away gift.
Huh. Very clever, though.
It's very sweet.
Oh, it's fantastically clever.
Yeah.
I feel like it should come as no surprise, considering I give a recipe each week. I'm a big lunch packer, so I don't go to the calf all that often.
Oh, but it's such a great place.
Eliz, that's a perfect segue. What's your recipe this week?
This week, perfect fall recipe. For the first time ever, I made white chicken chili.
Ooh.
So instead of like the tomato-based ground turkey or ground beef, it is a pound of chicken breast. It's a slow cooker recipe, Billy. So even though you have to cook it for like 4 or 5 hours, it's about 5 minutes of dumping stuff into the crock pot.
All right.
So a pound of boneless, skinless chicken breasts. I did a can of... sounds fancy, cannellini beans, but they're just like white kidney beans, not chickpeas. Don't get confused. Some frozen corn, a little can of chopped green chilies. You're supposed to add pickled jalapenos, but I'm not a huge spicy person, so I skipped that step. Some minced garlic, a diced yellow onion, some spices. They said to put cumin in, but I did not have cumin. So I just did salt and pepper and a little splash of hot sauce, which seems counterintuitive because I just said I don't like spicy food, but it was a very little amount. Then a can of like the light or healthy condensed cream of chicken soup and 1 to 1.5 cups of low-sodium chicken broth. And you just cook it on high for 4 or 5 hours. And then once you hit the 4 or 5 hour mark, you go back in and you shred the chicken, which just takes a couple forks. It's super soft and shreddable at that point. Mix in like a half cup-ish of either sour cream or plain Greek yogurt and let it cook for like another 30-ish minutes. And then I topped mine with a little bit more Greek yogurt, some shredded cheddar, and some Fritos. And it was amazing.
Wow.
So that's literally, that's a completely like white chili, no outside of the hot sauce, right? Just no red ingredients.
And it was like a very little splash of hot sauce, but yeah.
That sounds incredible. It's like a better version of like chicken noodle soup on super steroids.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Because when I just shared this recipe, I lowered the amount of chicken broth that I did because I think I put too much in there and it came out more like a tortilla chicken soup kind of situation. So in sharing with all of you lovely folks, I lessened the amount of chicken broth so it wasn't quite so soupy and maybe a little bit thicker.
I'm predicting that one's going to be a fan favorite.
Yeah.
I love chili.
That one's fantastic.
Chili fall football.
Yes. Yeah. After our fall conversation the last couple weeks, yes. I just had to do a fallish recipe, but I was dog sitting / house sitting for friends who just had a baby this past weekend. So while they were at the hospital, and I packed it up and I ate it at their house. Wow. And it was just transportable, great reheated. It was lovely.
That's like a red zone in chili.
Wow. Red zone in chili.
I mean, wait, did I do something clever that I didn't realize?
It's like Netflix and chill, red zone and chili. That was a good unintentional pun.
Put it on a shirt.
That. Well, I remember, so like probably the most American thing that my family ever did is my dad used to always make chili for Monday Night Football. So this, I feel like, I'm not a big like Monday Night Football consumer anymore, but I could definitely see a day of eating this chili and watching Red Zone. Red Zone and chili.
It's good. Yeah.
You spread the hashtag. Everyone's
Red Zone and chili.
Also, hot tip, I did the Trader Joe's frozen corn that comes already roasted.
Yes. It's
so good.
This is
Per usual, shout out to Trader Joe's. You guys are elite. Has anyone seen the movie Catwoman?
Oh.
In Catwoman, when Halle Berry, there is a horrendous basketball scene where they go to a classic asphalt pickup basketball game, and Halle Berry can just like jump over the hoop. She's turned into full Catwoman playing basketball.
Wow.
And that raises the question, does anyone have a best worst sports movie scene like that? Because there are so many. Lorenzo, this is your area of expertise.
I'm trying to think. That's a good topic. I mean, the one that it's done intentionally bad is Along Came Polly with the late Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Raindrops. The slow-mo a shot where like Ben Stiller's just crashing into his hot, sweaty torso is great. Other bad, intentionally bad or not purposely bad.
I got targeted with a video of one of these on Instagram today. Like if you go to the Explore page, and it was like a video from, you know, like the Spider-Man that happened in between Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and Tom Holland Spider-Man?
The Andrew Garfield Spider-Man.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. So I didn't watch that Spider-Man.
There were two of them.
Apparently there was like a scene in one where like this like jock dude, like swats a basketball and it knocks over this girl's can of paint. And then he like goes and picks the basketball up and it's like stuck to his hand. He's just like messing with this bully in all these like increasingly corny ways. And so I'm glad that I got targeted with that, because that was very, you know, topical for this conversation.
So I looked up the worst sports movie scenes in history, and I found a list of the top 11 worst sports scenes in movie history. And just so you guys know, Charlie, you're going to be happy about this. The first picture in the header is the Twilight scene. And then I go down, and the first movie listed on the list is number one, the Catwoman basketball
scene. Oh, we got it! Excellent. We did it!
Followed by number two, the Twilight baseball scene.
Stellar.
Number three, the American History X basketball scene. I don't know.
Oh, that's a classic.
That one's...
Let's just keep reading.
Bad in a different way. Yeah.
Number four, the Teen Wolf win end, in the end sequence.
Oh, yeah. But Teen Wolf is tongue-in-cheek on purpose. Wait, does this list have like Top Gun's volleyball scene in there? Because if so, I'm going to
Let's have Lorenzo review this list at a time and go through all 18. So this takes an hour and a half.
You want me to just send you the list, though, since you're trying to get ahead?
Wait, what's the source? No.
Number five, it's the odysseyonline.com. I don't know what that is. All right, number five, the winning touchdown. And remember the Titans? The Now or Never scene in High School Musical Reverse, 3. Yeah. That one, I'm sure, Zoe, you're familiar with. Number six.
Get your head in the game. Mm-hmm. Get your head in the game.
I figured. The eyeball scene in Any Given Sunday.
It's amazing. Ooh, I've always asked myself, did the stuntman just say, I have an extra eyeball that's going to be on the field after a hard tackle?
All right. Number eight is Amanda Bynes playing soccer at the end of She's the Man.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The touchdown scene in The Dark Knight Rises.
Amazing.
Oh,
Hines Ward should have seen the field dissolving behind him.
That's bad or good? Because I think that's an awesome scene.
No, that's a corny scene.
The winning touchdown in Varsity Blues is number 10, and number 11 is the basketball scene in The Amazing Spider-Man.
I've got a bone to pick, because the Varsity Blues scene is one of the great emotional scenes in history, as Billy Bob drags tacklers from the 30-yard line on that hook and ladder.
Eliz, what's your favorite sports movie?
I have a few. I'm bad at picking just one. I love Love and Basketball.
Great movie. Mm.
I used to listen to that soundtrack every day while I did homework in seventh grade. As a Red Sox fan, this is weird, but I love the Billy Crystal movie, 61.
Oh, yeah. Barry Pepper.
Great. Yes. Tom Jane and Barry Pepper. Great movie. Love Remember the Titans. You can't knock that. I think those are some of my top favorite sports movies.
Chuggy Dog, you like Fever Pitch? I love Fever Pitch.
I love Fever Pitch.
Yeah,
so they had to refilm the ending of that.
I thought that was such a great little...
Because they won, right?
Yeah.
Was that the they won? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they did it on the field as they won, which is pretty...
That's something that really should have been explained better as to why it is that two random people were just allowed to run around on the field, celebrate the World Series with the Red Sox, because that's unlikely.
Not it wasn't random, two random people. It was Drew Barrymore and Jimmy
Fallon. Yeah, but in the movie, they're two random people. They shouldn't be allowed on the field when a team wins the World Series. They'd be arrested and gone to jail.
That's true. CSE event.
Got it.
I was like, I mean, I'm all for this happiness and love story here at the end, but I mean, security needs to do their job and tase these people, put
suspend
them away.
Disbelief, Billy. Suspend
Remember the kid who got tased at the Phillies game? He was like a meme for a while.
Mm-hmm.
No.
He broke into the game. Yeah.
I just, you know, that, and that was, do you remember that guy?
I think it was around the time of Don't Tase Me, Bro.
Oh, yeah. It might have been.
I feel like I should come out and say we do not endorse tasing people, right? Is that should we just?
That's good. I think we should be
We're the number one anti. We're the number one anti-tasing podcast.
Tasing, please.
Don't tase people, please.
What's an adequate parallel? Like instead of tasing, how can we subdue? Like, what if we did like less lethal things, but still, like what is the things that they snag up your feet? Like bolos? Or is that?
You want them to go around and like lasso people.
Yes. Mm. Like, or get, you know what? Bring the rodeo, like the rodeo guys in.
Rodeo clowns?
No, not the clowns. The clowns will be funny though, but you bring in actual like rodeo stars to like ride in and rope people that
jump on roping people.
Yeah. People like streakers and all that. Just bring them in. Bring them, make it a part of a show. Like bring in rodeo people. On a horse.
Whatever. Does every team have the rodeo people on call just in the event that something happens?
That's correct. You got to have one rodeo security, one cowboy on.
I'm starting to like this.
Or cowgirl.
I was out on this idea, and now I really love this idea. Instead of security people.
We got a streaker. Oh, here you go. Send out the cowboy.
Hey. Oh, you could sell it as a presenting sponsorship. Oh, you could print it on the back of the ticket like, all ticket, you can streak on the field, but you're subject to, you sign away all your medical rights.
Yeah, you could get lassoed.
You could get lassoed.
Now, if you get captured by the rodeo cowboy, cowgirl, cow person, then that's it, you're banned forever, for life, whatever the
real
rule is. But if you get away from them, then there's like, that should be some incentive, right?
They take you out to left center field where there is a dunk tank. And then it's a charity dunk tank, and you can pay money. You can take turns dunking you for the rest of the game. And then that's your punishment.
Seems like it's just encouraging people to be running around on the field.
No, but Chunky Dog brings up a point. There's a risk factor, right? You don't want to be a donkey.
You don't want to get
dunked. That's the worst job.
Going to jail is worse than being in a dunk tank.
Here you get banned. You get banned or dunk tank.
I think if you ask anyone in jail, would you rather be in jail or in a dunk tank? I think they'd all say a dunk tank.
Yeah, but they get jailed for what, like a night or two?
Nah, and what? What?
For streaking onto a field, what's
you have a bad dunk tank experience, Lorenzo? What's
me?
Could you compare that?
I don't think I've ever been in a dunk tank. I don't think I've been in a dunk tank, but no, I just you know what it is? I've been on the receiving end of a dunky. Billy, you remember in Santa's Enchanted Forest, the clown who would be in the dunk tank, and he had a very raspy voice like this, and you'd always walk past, and his whole thing was to like entice you to play the dunk tank game, but he was very, very rude. Like for me, portly fifth grade Lorenzo at the youth fair or Santa's Enchanted Forest, he'd be like, "Hey, fatty, come on, you can't throw a ball. Hey, come on over." And I was like, "Mom, little tick." This chump out and he was always there. He was there at Santa's. He was there at the youth fair, Miami-Dade Youth Fair. The same guy, the same crappy knockoff bozo.
Yeah,
with like the raspy ass voice.
But it was his job. You can't hate him for doing his job, right?
No, he did it very well, but
yeah.
I mean, some of the
Rizzo has deep-seated clown and dunked
no,
him.
How much
did you spend trying to dunk that clown in your life?
I did it. My parents would not give me the money. They're like, no, you're going to waste your money on that. I'm like, no, but I need to take him out. Like,
so you never got to dunk the clown?
No.
We got to find him, and we got to
dunk that clown.
Yeah, at the nearest county fair that's not happening.
Right. Don't let him get off either with this jail business. If he gets the option to go to jail, say, no, no, clown, you're getting dunked by Lorenzo. Dunked
that, man.
By the way, this is a pretty unbelievable segment. Should we transition to I Can't Believe?
Ooh, I Can't Believe. Does anyone have a good I can't believe they want to start with?
We're about to do I Cannot Believe.
I can't believe that the Marlins, the team that I like the most, made it to the playoffs this year. Now, they were eliminated by the Braves. They got swept. It was kind of a disappointing finish to the season. But I can't believe that they made it this far.
I can't believe that.
Well, you know what I can't believe? I can't believe the amount of people that have jumped on the bandwagon and are pretending to be Marlins fans. And it bothers me. Because, Billy, you're real. You're a true Marlins fan.
Yeah.
And you know what? This might upset our listeners a little bit. But, you know, it's like they're applying Heat culture and pretending that they're Marlins fans for life, and they're really just Marlins fans established 2020, established 1997, established that other time the Marlins won the World Series.
Yeah.
You know what?
Fake
Marlins fans, I see you. I know what you're doing.
And I don't can't respect believe it. You.
Wow.
I can't believe that.
I can't believe you.
I can't believe how much food you can get for such a small amount of money at Burger King, especially when you use the app. I can't believe it. The 2-for-5 deal?
Oh, man.
A Whopper and some chicken fries? Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Speaking of fast food, I can't believe that Ireland's Supreme Court ruled that Subway's bread is not bread. You know what I can't believe? I can't believe we didn't realize it sooner.
Can't believe it.
Are they defining it? Because if you read the article, the reason why they're not defining it as bread is it has 5 times the amount of sugar in it that is required to be to make something be defined as bread. Are they defining it as a pastry? Like, what is this?
I think the technical issue is, like, what do they call bread? Like a staple food?
Yeah.
And
pizza is a vegetable thing.
It's not that they're defining it as anything. They're just saying it's not a staple food.
Mm.
Like, that's what's at play there.
Mm.
It's funny because the person who wrote the article was like, maybe this is why it's so addicting, because sugar is addicting. But I would have never sort of pinpointed Subway bread as being particularly sweet. But
well, is it addicting? Is anyone addicted to Subway bread?
That's what his argument in the article was.
The bread's pretty good.
I will say it is the most distinct smell of any fast food.
Yes.
And that's what, like, I can't believe it didn't stick out sooner that there was some sort of, you know, chemical difference.
I can't believe it.
I got to believe that they pump in like some of that smell, like like Disney smells. I can't believe, on the subject of fast food, that Colombian reggaetonero superstar J Balvin has a J Balvin meal at McDonald's.
Wow. It's lit.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a Big Mac, medium fries, and I think an Oreo McFlurry.
Ooh.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Meal. The J Balvin meals, what's up?
I feel like this segment's going to die because we're just annoying by saying I can't believe over and over again.
I can't believe you.
I can't believe anyone wouldn't like this segment.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that.
I can't believe that the first vampires on screen to have fangs were in the 1958 British Hammer film.
Oh, no, now we've ruined it.
With Christopher Lee. That's his magazine I was reading, Billy. It's Smithsonian Magazine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the fangs. Vampire fangs weren't a thing until like... That's 1997.
No, I can believe that.
In TV news, two shows are coming back. One of Mr. Krabs' favorite
shows.
And one of my favorite shows. Now, I have mixed feelings on one of my favorite shows coming back. It's The Amazing Race. And the reason I have mixed feelings on it is because I auditioned for this season of The Amazing Race the morning after my wedding. I got up and we drove and we went and we did an audition at a Brandsmart USA. I don't know why that's where the audition was.
In the Brandsmart way.
Thank you, Zoe. So we did an audition at a Brandsmart USA for The Amazing Race. Never got a call back, so they didn't seem to like the whole newlywed angle the day after their wedding. And I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to be watching it. And if there's a newlywed couple, I'm going to be like, man, I feel like me and my wife are a better couple than that. But the other show that's coming back is in Mr. Krabs' top three favorite shows, and it's The Bachelorette.
I love is what I'd say about that. And there's nothing more dramatic than the cliffhanger every single week of the show that's sort of fallen down the cliff into Instagram influencer heaven than The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And this season is also particularly dramatic. I don't know if anyone knows about this. This is not a spoiler. This is very much.
I've seen this trailer or the preview for it.
Yep. This is like very much okay. But so did The Bachelorette in quarantine. They did it at a hotel in California. And for the first time ever, The Bachelorette Claire, if you haven't seen this news, pause the podcast, fast forward 30 seconds. We'll give you time. Pausing.
Well, don't pause, because then when you unpause, you're just going to be back in the same spot. All right.
Well, fast forward past this point.
Fast forward.
Not actually a spoiler.
Earmuffs.
Claire actually found love because her season was delayed by the quarantine, and she was able to DM and start talking to all the guys on her show. She quits the show a week in to leave with someone who she had been talking to for months. Ex-NFL wide receiver, Dale Moss. Alleged friend of Dan Orlovsky, Dale Moss. And so she leaves the show and she gets replaced by Tayshia, one of my favorites. And I'm actually very excited because one of my big gripes with The Bachelor, Bachelorette is they see these people for like 10 total minutes before they have to propose to them because it's only on either group dates or individual dates. You have like one or two dates with the person, then you're expected to propose and the relationships never last. But by doing it in quarantine, I think the relationships actually have a chance to succeed because they're stuck with these people. It's sort of a real world situation. That's why Bachelor in Paradise works. And I love love.
My favorite thing of the trailers was when the host of The Bachelorette, whose name I don't remember, it's like
Chris Harrison, legend.
Chris Harrison. Okay. So Chris Harrison's sitting down in like the hotel room or whatever, and he says, "Congratulations, you ruined The Bachelorette," or whatever it is that he
said. You've blown up The Bachelorette.
That's the same line I stuck out to me when I saw it. I'm like, wait, what? She blew it up? Like, how bad can this be?
So Claire has done this show before, has she not? Wasn't she one of the contestants on The Bachelor?
It's a feeder system.
Yeah.
So you're a contestant, you're essentially a minor leaguer. You make it towards the end. They choose essentially the most sympathetic character, make them the lead in the following season. Claire had a tough go. She was on The Bachelor about 6 years ago. She was actually on the first season I ever watched completely when Juan Pablo was The Bachelor. She made it to the final two and had a devastating and actually very crass and sort of misogynistic breakup where the guy was just awful to her. But then she became a comedic figure. She went to Bachelor in Paradise twice. And Claire is she's expressive, I would say, is a euphemism for her emotional state at certain times. So what they did on Bachelor in Paradise is they would sort of Photoshop, or they wouldn't Photoshop, they would selectively edit her talking to a producer, but they would cut out the producer talking and they would put in like a raccoon or a crab on the beach. And so it made her look like she was just talking to a random animal and explaining all of her relationship problems. So she had a tough go of it there. Then she went to Bachelor Winter Games, had a tough go of it there, had another devastating breakup. And this is now her fifth time on the franchise. And none of it ever goes according to plan.
But why couldn't she just write it out? Why? I mean, she knows how these shows work. She's been on them. Why can't she just write it out to the end? And wouldn't it build like her? What does she do? What is Claire's profession?
She's a hairstylist.
So wouldn't it be good for her hairstylist business to go along with this whole thing till the end?
I'm going to tell you something. No one quits the show. Like, they might have it be her quitting the show.
Yeah.
No one, like, I mean, no one who's a lead is quitting the show. Their contracts, they all want to be famous. That's the subtext of all of this, of part of the reason why these relationships don't work, is they care more about the fame than anything.
Than love.
She definitely made it very clear that there was a person who she had already talked to. And the show definitely realized they could get more drama by ending her reign as The Bachelorette earlier and bringing in Tayshia, who is, you know, another desirable candidate, and essentially putting in two seasons in one.
Conspiracy
great producer
theory
trick.
Alert.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I think it's about time for either the seventh B or just
lightning round.
Lightning round. All right. What do you want the lightning round to be this week?
Wait. Seventh B.
Guys, we started a BB biker gang. Follow us on Peloton. Me, Charlie Hume, Lorenzo, all have Pelotons. We're following the hashtag 6Bs biker gang. You can ride with us. join the BBBBBB Peloton community.
So that's technically a seventh B in that. So it's
no, no, no. It's six Bs, then an I. Six Bs. The sixth B is the first. Yeah.
Mm. The seventh B is a P this week for Peloton.
Yeah. Wow.
So there you go.
That's my lighting round.
Is this where we say our? Oh, I get it. They follow the hashtag. That's
yeah, and we'll be the only other followers of the hashtag. Got They'll it. Be able to find us. I don't know. Actually, Lorenzo's Peloton. I'm C Kravitz 23.
Oh, it's pronounced Peloton.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Peloton.
That's Spanish for fart. That's like it's basically his username is basically Big Fart. A peloton would be a big fart.
There's a pelotico and then there's a peloton.
That's amazing.
I'm a 13-year-old child trapped inside of
I don't have a peloton, but now I think I want one just because I don't want to be left out. But it's so expensive.
Yeah.
They went down in price.
You know, Peloton, if you want to sponsor the show. Eliz, final thoughts?
Wait, our lightning round. We're still in lightning round.
What's your lightning round, Lorenzo?
We're still in lightning round.
What's your lightning round, Lorenzo?
I don't have one.
Okay. All right.
But Eliz, I thought we were going around.
I'm speechless. Work hard and be BBBBB kind.
Oh, girl, there you go.
But are there seven Bs now? I don't know.
I don't know. Is there a seventh B?
What is it, Lorenzo?
Well, actually, I had two Bs. I was going to go with
not bats. The bees.
And it's very, very apropos because bats. Charlie Hume brought up Twilight in a sidebar conversation. So I had bats and I had bat facts. But I bet the bat facts are good, but I'd rather go with boo because it's the month of October. It's one of my favorite months because how
what are your bat facts? Hold on. What are your bat facts?
Yeah, I want to hear some bat facts.
I have a lot of bat
facts. I noticed some bats in a tree I walked past the other day.
Zoe told me he wants to build a bat house at his house.
Yes, that's correct.
I think bats are on the comeback.
Bats are
it's
have
been
never
tough
left.
Year for bats.
They've
yeah.
never left.
Tough year for bats.
Tough year for bats.
I think bats are back. And I think that's I think
in a good way or bad way. Some bat facts, real quick. They're the only flying mammal. There's over 1,400 species worldwide, 40 in the United States. They come in various sizes, from the smallest, which is the kitty's hognose bat, aka the bumblebee bat, or you can have the flying foxes, which have over a 6-foot wingspan. That's
what?
Freaking amazing.
There's a 6-foot bat.
The wingspan.
That's crazy.
That is pretty crazy. I can't believe it. Bat fingers. Their wings are not actually like you'd think. They're just that's actually their hands. So like the little ribs are their fingers, and then a membrane that connects them all together. So just some if you know your bat anatomy, your bat anatomy. Some species can consume up to 6,000 bat bugs in an hour. That's pretty crazy. They're great competitive eaters. Blind as a bat. It's kind of a incorrect phrase. Their vision is actually really good, and to supplement it, when they're out hunting for bugs and stuff at night,
sonar, right?
They use echolocation.
Yeah,
wow.
Similar. Finally, what else? Some bats do drink blood. They're vampire bats, but they usually go for cows, pigs, and horses. What else did I have here? Ooh, few natural predators, only owls, hawks, and snakes. But they are stricken now over 6 million bats.